Well, good morning and welcome to Faith Life Stratford, where our goal each time is to represent God and help people to understand who God is and what His desire is for their life. I'm so glad you took the time out to join us today. We're going to jump right back into the Word. Last time when we was talking about the laws of confession. And when we began talking about the laws of confession, we began to talking about how your confession brings about possessions. And we began talking about how that, if you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, which is a spiritual principle in the kingdom of God, that you will have what you say. Now, this week what we're going to be talking about, we're going to pick up on that, but if I was to give this message a title, the title of this message would be Winning the Battle Within. Winning the battle within. And it starts off like this. It says that sometimes, this is what the Lord shared with me, and I'm going to share with you. He says sometimes we can be in such a hurry to get to the solution that we never really understand what the root of the problem is. He says, in order to really get a grip on our words, we need to understand the original intent for words in the first place. This can only be found when you search the Word of God, and we can learn how God used His words. Now, a lot of times people will say, man, my words don't hurt anybody. I know back in the day, you used to have this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that couldn't be any further from the truth. And anybody who's ever had anybody say anything harsh or slanderous or tries to defame them, or anything that they try to degrade you with their words, know that years and sometimes months, weeks, years, decades later, words that were spoken over you still have an effect on you today. I know that when I used to be a youth pastor, one of the things that we one of the sayings we used to have with the youth is we don't fry, we edify, which means that we never tear people, we don't use our words to tear people down, but we use our words to build people up. We find this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, when it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer." What does it mean? Grace means it provides benefit to the hearer. It When the person hears your words, they should walk away. They should be impacted by, they should be encouraged. They should be exhorted. They should be comforted, not feeling like they got beat down, because of your words. And when you understand what the power of words has, then you will begin to choose your words more wisely. I know that if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, you got to understand this. You got to remember that when God made mankind, He made mankind in His image and in His likeness, with the same nature and character as God has. We find this that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us," talking about God the Father, God Jesus the Word, and the Holy Spirit, "let us make man in our image and our likeness." And He says that when He, God, who is the Creator, one of God's attributes is He is the Creator, or He is Elohim. We see this played out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I always say, when I ask people, what's the most important scripture in the Word of God? What's the most important scripture in the Bible? People will say John 3:16, or people will say, say all kind of different scriptures. And I say, no, the most important one, in my opinion, is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning, God created," God Elohim created the heavens and the earth. They said, "Well, why do you say that's the most important one?" Because, and I say, because if you don't believe that one, you won't believe anything else that the Word of God has to say. Because if you don't believe that He was the one who created it all, then you will be able to try to explain away a lot of the things that you see. Now, if you find out in the beginning He created the heavens and the earth, unless you have already settled this truth in your heart, and that's another issue. He says a lot of times when people hear the word, it's only head knowledge to them. It's something that they hear at the moment, but they let go. He says, but in order for that word to go any further, you got to get that word from just being in your head and get that word down into your heart. See, until you it becomes heart knowledge. Because remember when we talked about last week, if you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. then you will get the results that you desire. Until it becomes heart knowledge, it doesn't matter what else you will hear, because on that foundation of the fact that God is this the creator, we must build our faith, our total confidence, assurance, and reliance. Without believing that the Father Elohim created the heavens and the earth, it's impossible to believe he created man or anything else. Now, once you've made a heart decision to believe he created the heavens and the earth, the next question would be, how did he go about doing it? Have you ever wanted to ask that question, man? How did God go about creating the heavens and the earth? And you know, we find the answer to that question all the way over into in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. How, if God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, how did he go about doing it? Well, he answers that question for us in John chapter 1, verse 1. And it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. Now listen to this part, verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. So everything that you can see in the earth was first made by the Word. Who is the Word? The Word, or we call, well, the Word is what created all things. And how did he go about creating all things? He spoke out of his mouth what he believed in his heart. Every time God says something, he speaks the word, and that word comes into existence. In fact, when he talked about Jesus, Jesus is the Word and manifested in flesh. How do you know? Because way back in Genesis chapter 3, God spoke the word to Adam and Eve after they bowed their knees and revolted against God. What did he say? He said that he told the adversary, he says, the seed of the woman will come forth. And when the seed of the woman will come forth, you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. At that moment, God is speaking Jesus into the earth. What is he doing? He's releasing the word, and at the appointed time, the total manifestation of that word will come to pass. So what happened? Jesus, God spoke the word, and when he spoke the word, that word became flesh. And according to John chapter 1, verse 14, that word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him. And he was full of grace, and he was full of truth. Who was that? That word that became flesh is Jesus Christ. Now, what was God's original intent for words? His original intent for words was to create. And we find how God created the heavens and the earth and all things. When we find out in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and all things were made by the Word. And we find this demonstrated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Our Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then if you go into Genesis chapter 1, then you can go all the way down to verse number 3. And when you're looking at verse number 3, it says, and then God said, let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. And in verse 4, God saw that light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Then it says in verse number 6, then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmaments and divided the waters which were under the firmaments from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. So what are we seeing? In verse number 9, then God said, let there be waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Then we find in verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And what happened? God said, And then it says, and then God saw. Verse number 14 says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and then let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmaments of the heavens to give light on the earth. And guess what it says? And it was so. And so what are we seeing the pattern is? In verse number 20, it says, then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the heaven, above the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abound. So what happened? God said, and then God saw. God said, and then God saw. Then God said in verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, and according to its kind. And it was so. So then, after God had created all the other things that were on the earth, he had created the animals, he created the birds, he created the cattle, he had created things in the waters, he had created the oceans, he had created the heavens, he had created the earth, he created things around the earth. After he created all those things, then he says, now that all those things are in place, he says, I've saved the best for last. What did he do? He said, verse 36, as you were, verse 26, and then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. And now, not only was he going to make man, but he was going to make man, and this is what that man purpose would be. Let them have dominion or authority over what? The fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So what did it say in verse 27? So God created man in his image and in his likeness, for God created him, male and female, he created them. Then God, after he had created them, just like he did with everything else he had already created, everything already had a purpose in itself from the very beginning. It's not like you are born and then you find your purpose. When you are born, God already had a purpose and a plan for your life, which you can also find this in Jeremiah 1 and 5 when he says, Jeremiah, before you was formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. He says, before you came out of your mom, I had already approved you. I had already appointed you. I already had a purpose and a plan for your life before you ever came forth out of your mama's womb. And it's the same word he spoke over Jeremiah is the same word he's speaking over you today. He says, I already had a plan. I already had a purpose. I already had something I had in store for your life before the foundation of the world, before you ever came on the scene. He says, and all I need you to do is to get into my word, come into agreement with what it is that my word already says about you, so I can bring those things to pass in your life. But in order for you to get there, you first got to win the battle within, and that battle is won or lost based off of the words that come out of your mouth. Now, you see, God created man. And after he created man in his image and in his likeness, why is this important to you? And why is it important to me? He says, because then God blessed the man. In other words, God empowered them to prosper. And this is what God said about them. And this is what God said about you, because God never changed his mind. He says, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply, to fill the earth, subdue it. And he says, and have dominion or have authority over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth. And then what did he say? He says, now I'm saying to you, and just like he said it to them, he's saying it to you and he's saying it to me. He's saying to everyone who's on the earth today, I have already created you to be fruitful, always be producing, to multiply, always be increasing, to fill, to always refill, to fill and refill, and to subdue, to have authority over your situation and circumstance, and to have dominion, to where you can rule and reign over your situation. You can't rule and reign over other people, but you can rule and reign over your situation and circumstances. But the only way that you are empowered to be able to do any of those things is when you operate according to the kingdom of God. And the only way you're going to be able to operate according to the kingdom of God, you have to come into the kingdom of God. And the only way you can do that is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is that you have to understand the words that confess that with your mouth and believe that in your heart. It can't be head knowledge. A lot of people, you know, say, I prayed the prayer. Well, you know, you can pray and not believe it in your heart, or you can believe it in your heart and not say it out of your mouth. And both opportunities give you no results because you're not operating in accordance to his word. You got to understand, faith is a positive response to what it is that the word of God has to say. I'm going to say that to you again. Faith is a positive response to what it is the word of God has to say. You're not trying to do things to get God to do something. You're doing things because you believe according to his word, it's already done. Now you're just cooperating with what it is that his word has already said. Now you say, you know, why is it important to me? What difference does it make that that's the way that God created his world? Well, he says, remember, he made you in his image and in his likeness. So the same way that God created his world is the same way that you will create or destroy your world. How's that? By the words that come out of your mouth. Whatever you confess from your heart, out of your mouth, because what it is that you believe in your heart, you will see those things manifested in your life. I'll give you a prime example. How do I know that this is true? If you go with me over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, talking about Adam. Who was the first man that God, when he says, let us make them in our image and our likeness, and mankind came forth, and then there was Adam. And then what happened? We know when we see Adam, we see how God brought the animals to Adam, and it didn't say that God was the one who gave them names. It says Adam was the one who gave them names. I'll show it to you in the word. It says this. It says, in Genesis 2:19 says this, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And here it is. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam, not God, Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. Said Adam was the one who did this. He says, but for Adam, there was not one, not found a help comparable to for him. So when it came time for the animals to receive their names, it didn't say God was the one who did it. It says that Adam was the one who gave them names. We find out how, you know, so he had the same creative ability in him that God had in him. Now, how do you know that your words have the ability to create life or to create death? Well, it says it in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, and those who love it will eat it's the fruit of it. So whatever the words that you're saying out of your mouth, whether you mean it or don't mean it, because see, in the, you got to understand, you are a spirit who lives in a physical body, which is called your earth suit. And you possess a soul. Now, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your feeler, your chooser, your thinker. So in the this is the natural realm that we live in. But in outside of this natural realm, there is a spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, when you speak words, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you agree with it or not, your words create. It's either creating life or it's creating death. The spirit realm doesn't know that you're joking. So what happens is when you say something out of your mouth and you say, man, you get on my nerves. You know, you make me sick. I'm dying to go. It tickled me to death. I'll give you a prime example. There used to be this entertainer years ago. His name was Red Fox. And Red Fox used to have this infamous line on Sanford and Son. I know, date myself a little bit, but he had this infamous line. He always said, you know, oh, this is the big one. I'm having the big one. And talking about having a heart attack. And he's telling us, he says, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. And he kept saying it over and over and over and over again. Guess what happened? One day, years later, on the set, he was known for being a jokester. He was a comedian. Not only was he an actor, but he was a comedian. And what did he say? He says, I'm having the big one. And he put his hand on his heart. And he kept, you know, he did the same things he had always done. But people were so accustomed to him saying it and doing it that what they did not realize is when he was saying it and doing it this time, he really was having a heart attack. It really was the big one. And he really did die. The power of your word. You say, man, that's just a coincidence. I'm glad you said that. Go with me over to Numbers chapter 13. When you talk about Numbers chapter 13, glory to God. Are you getting anything out of this? Winning the battle within. When you're winning the battle within, you got to understand the power of your words. There is a law of confession, and how we find here how God, I'm in Numbers 1:13, how God, the Lord, has spoke to Moses, saying, send the spies out into the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So what was God's instruction? Hey, Moses, the 12 tribes, send 12 men in, the leaders of these tribes, send them in, let them go in and spy out the land. It didn't say that God might give it into them. It might be something they might like. It says, God says, I'm giving the land to the children of Israel. So it when remember when God said it, as far as God was concerned, it was already done. It's already so. Why? Because we know in accordance to Isaiah 55 that God's word does not return to him void, but it must accomplish that which he pleases and prosper in the things whereto he has sent it. But what does he need in order for it to manifest in our life? He needs cooperation. Where does the cooperation come from? When we say back, the confession is, God, I'm going to say back to you what you've already said to me, because I believe that when you said it, it was already so. So I'm going to say it. I'm going to confess it out of my mouth because I believe it in my heart. So, and then I'm going to begin to respond or act according to what it is that word says, not hoping that it's going to come to pass, but believing I already received. So what did Moses did? Moses turned around and he told the men, he told the tribes and everything, hey, you know what? This is what the Lord says. He said, so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all them who were heads of the children of Israel. So Moses had a positive response to what it is that God said, and he sent them out and he told them to go out and spy out the land. That's exactly what Moses would go out and spy out the land. He says in verse 17, he says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, or whether there are forests there or not. What did he say? Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now, Moses didn't say it was talking like this might happen. Moses was telling them to go in because God has already given us this land. So what happens? The spies, they go in just like Moses instructed to. They go in and they're looking around, and it says in verse 24 that the place was called the Valley of Escharol, and it says because of the cluster of which the men of Israel cut down there, he says, and they returned from spying out the land 40 days. So they was 40 days in this land. They had seen everything that it is that God had said, and this was the report that the 12 men brought back. Now they had spied out the land. Then they went in based off of what the word of God said. Now, this is what happened when they came back. And this is verse 20. Talk about the power of words. Now, this is verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word. What did they bring back? Word. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. So the people saw the fruit, and they heard the words that the spies had said. So what happened? They came back, and they had the fruit, and the people saw the fruit. But then what did they do? They was listening for the words that the spies was going to say. This is what they said. Talking about power of life or death, blessing and cursing. This is what they said. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit in it." Now, if they would have stopped right there, they would have been operating according to the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're saying back to the people the same thing that God had already told to Moses, and they were saying, bringing back a good report. Remember, we don't fry, we edify. Our words are supposed to be used to exhort, to comfort, and to edify, to build up. He says, yeah. It had, man, that land, it truly was flowing with milk and honey, because that was the promise that God had gave Moses, that Moses told the children of Israel before they kind of came out of Egypt. But then, this is what they said. But, and every time you hear somebody, you be talking to somebody, and they said, man, this, but disregard everything that they said up to that point. Listen to what it is they say after the word but, because that's what they truly believe. Now, this is what they says. Nevertheless, even though it's a land flowing with milk and honey, even though this is the fruit in it, this is what they says. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and among the banks of Jordan. Now, this is everybody saying, somebody say, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Man, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what's going on in my life. But then Caleb, who was one of the spies, quieted the people before Moses. And this is what he says: "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Even though he saw the exact same things that the other guys saw, he made him and Joshua had made a decision. No matter what we see, because we're walking by faith and not by sight, we're walking by what the word of the Lord is, not based off of our circumstances and situations. We're going to continue to speak life, even when it's in the natural, it looks like things are not lining up the way that we was expecting them to happen. And God is saying the same thing to you, and God's saying the same thing to me, and he's saying this to people all over the world. He says, you're not denying the fact that things are going on, but you deny the fact, you're denying it's right to have an operation in your life. How are you going to do that? When you begin to speak the word of God, and you creating with your word, man, I declare that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and according to Isaiah 53 and 5, fact is, the doctor says I have a tumor, but truth is that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I believe what Jesus says. I receive my healing now in the name of Jesus. Fact is, electricity bill is way past due, and they talking about cut my life, y'all. Truth is that my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and I'm going to continue to speak the word over my situation and circumstance. And how long I'm going to do it? And according to Romans chapter 4, 17, I'm going to call those things to be not as though they were until they are. I'm not going to be moved by what it is I see, and I'm going to be moved by what other people say. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold on to the word of God to the very end. And that's what operating according to faith in the kingdom is all about: being fully persuaded that he who promised is well able to perform it. Now, when Caleb said this, man, let's go up at once, we can do it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We aren't able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel what kind of report? A bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sights, and so we were in their sights. But there's nothing that ever said that that's the way that the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the late buildites, the health crisisites, the broken down carites, didn't say any of those things was true. This was what they were saying about themselves, because that's how they saw themselves, so that's how they believe everybody else saw them. But when you get a hold of the word of God, and when you begin to speak God's word over yourself, and when you begin to say what the word of God says, oh, more so than what you begin to talk about what it is your situation, the circumstances says, then you will bring life, then you will bring health, then you will bring healing, then you will bring restoration, then you will bring to pass, you will bring into existence the very things that you're seeing out of your mouth, because you have realized that through the power of your words, you have the ability to create, or you have the ability to destroy. You have the ability to speak blessings, or you have the ability to speak curses. And if you continue to read over in Numbers 14, you will find out this is what God said to Moses about those same children of Israel. He says, "According to the word, according to your words, be it unto you." In other words, you have kept saying that this was going to happen. You was going to die in the wilderness, and all these things were going to happen. He says, "According to your words, be it unto you." And that's the word of the Lord today. According to your word, be it unto you. The only way you get God's results is you got to speak God's word. The only way Adam got God's results is Adam spoke God's words. The only way that Joshua and Caleb and the second generation that went in, because the first generation died in the wilderness, not because that was God's will, but because that's what they kept saying about themselves, even though God never said that about them. And if you're going to win the battle within, you have got to make a decision today that this is going to be your day one, and that you're going to allow a watch to be placed over your mouth. And if your words don't line up with the word of God, my mama always said this: unless you got something good to say, keep your mouth shut. And unless you got something that's going to line up with the word of God, that's not saying that you're denying the situation, and that's not saying that you can't ever tell anybody about the situation. But when you keep singing that same old song, "Somebody Done Me Wrong," when you keep singing that same old song over and over and over again, what you're saying is, I got more confidence and faith in what it is that I see than what it is God's word has said. You are the determining factor, not God, not the devil, not your cousin, not Pookie, Ray Ray, Shay Hey, and Kwee Kwee. None of those people are the deciding factor on whether you're going to see God's end results in your life. You are the deciding factor. But you have to make a decision. I'm going to confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart. If I want to know what it is that you truly believe in your heart, all I got to do is listen to the words that come out of your mouth. Because it says in Matthew chapter 12, 24, as you were in Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there was one thing I would encourage you to do this week, Proverbs 4, 23 says, keep guard over your heart, for out of your heart come the issues of life. Guard what you hear, guard what you say, guard what you watch, because all those things will be sown into your heart if you watch it, listen to it, say it long enough, and it will begin to produce the issues you're seeing in your life. Next week, what we're going to be talking about, we're going to talk about, now I understand that my words have power. I understand in order to win the battle within, I got to choose my words wisely. What are we going to talk about next week? Man, how do you get that old stuff, go get the old out and replace it with the new? So join us next week. We'll be right back here at Faith Life Stratford again next week, Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time. We look forward to seeing you soon. Have a blessed day. God bless you.